to our own city manager, Port Townsend, John Morrow. Welcome, John.
Good morning.
And so glad that you're here. It seems like a year has passed. It's been a week, but it's been a busy week.
It has been.
And the purpose of having John Morrow, our city manager, on here on KPTZ is to give direct updates on what's going on here in town. And also, I think there's a certain benefit to have a rumor control, because I think that when we have people like John Morrow and Mayor Sandoval here, it's a very good way to stop certain rumors that may circulate through town. You never know. So this is the place to be to get the real scoop on what's going on. And speaking of what's going on, I see a full notebook there, John. I'm going to just give it to you.
Hey, Tim, you blew my cover. Thank you very much. And look, I mean, the best rumor control is tuning into KPTZ, right, and making sure everybody's got the same source.
Absolutely.
So a huge appreciation for just the ability to be here, and for those listening, thank you. I believe we'll have Mayor Sandoval on the line quite quickly. I've got three things I just wanted to share with those listening today. One is just a basic update from what Dr. Tom Locke has been saying in his updates. And so everyone knows where we are in terms of the coronavirus situation here locally. The second thing is I wanted to talk a little bit about city services and some of the things that have changed for us as we try to manage our organization and what we do for the community now. And then the third thing is a little bit about what you can do. And I mean, undoubtedly, many of you are already rolling up your sleeves and getting to work and donating time and money. But there are some specific things that I've got that I could share with you in a few. So maybe I'll just take the first one, Tim. You can obviously steer me as you'd like. But look, if for those of you who have web access, it's pretty easy to dial up the Jefferson County Public Health website and the COVID-19 page. And remember to hit refresh, because that's updated quite frequently. As of now, I could say that we do have 10 total positive confirmed cases in county. Three of those are likely in-county exposure, and 7 are presumed out of county. I think the big story here is that there are a number of test results pending. I believe 191 still pending. So the county has about 436 patients tested to date. And they've been working through real serious challenges with materials and testing times, and just doing a remarkable job making sure we have up-to-date information on the number of cases here in Jefferson County. And if you haven't already, I'd encourage you to tune in to Dr. Locke's regular updates at the Board of County Commissioners meetings every Monday morning at 9:30. I guess another shout out to the work that they're doing, and also in conjunction with the County Department of Emergency Management, Emergency Operations Center, Jefferson Healthcare. We all talk daily about what the current status is and what we need to do about it. And that interagency cooperation has been a real delight to rely on. And so everybody who's involved in that, I really want to express my sincere gratitude. So that's the first thing, Tim. The second thing is what's happening with the city, and I can give you a little bit of an update. Look, as many businesses have either closed or changed operations, so we have as well. And the governor's order, which, just for clarification, is not an order to shelter in place. It's an order that requires us only to take the essential trips to the grocery store, to get medication, or for critical services if you're working in an industry that delivers quite a long list of essential services. That's easily discoverable on the governor's website and the order that he issued. I did want to say that maybe it's an easy segue into parks. At this point, city parks are open. And personally, somebody who used City Park this morning myself, in a time like this, where the governor's order is explicitly not about keeping people indoors. And I think one of the pieces of beauty we have here in Port Townsend and the region is we have a lot of places to go out and explore. And if you could do that staying, you know, 6 feet away from people, making sure you're practicing optimal hygiene habits, that's a really great way to get both physical and mental health in a time when I'd say a lot of us need it. So we're trying to keep those services open for you. You might see changes in some of the facilities closing, like restrooms. We've got a very small crew that's keeping things running right now, so hence some changes to services. Same thing with a library. If you're thinking about mental health and connection, you know, library staff are still responding to calls and emails. The library itself is a 24-hour, you know, 7-day-a-week service where you've got access to books and movies at any time. There are virtual book clubs popping up, so feel free to get in touch with Library Director Melody Eisler if you want to start one yourself. So there's some new ideas going around with the library. Public works, clearly the water and wastewater, roads, those things continue. So our team is now on split shifts, making sure that we've got somebody covering that at all times. And the crews have been doing a remarkable job. I mean, the work continues. I would like to welcome very publicly Steve King, who's our new public works director. This is Steve's first week. And I say with some gratitude, you know, it's fantastic. You know, day one was the governor's order. So, you know, welcome to work, now go home was kind of one way to interpret it. But Steve's been working tirelessly with his team. And it's quite inspiring to see on day two, he and his team managers already came up with an operational plan for public works. And this is day two on the job. So a huge thanks to how those teams are coming together, and a real bunch of gratitude there for new leadership in public works and Steve's arrival. And of course, when times become normal again, I know that he really looks forward to getting out and meeting people in person. Police, one note I can have for you there is just please refrain from calling 911 about the governor's order. The interim police chief Serber has told me that they're getting a lot of calls there, and what that does is obviously disrupt from those who actually need emergency care. You can easily go to the governor's website, or if you have general questions, you can call the city main line, and that's something that we can pick up and handle. On things like finance, you know, we're still processing. We've got a split crew there, making sure that things continue. Same thing with our clerk's office, and so city services are scaled back. The buildings are closed, but we still move forward because you're depending on those services. A couple other quick things on what we're doing. One is that city council meetings, as per the governor order, are now actually physically closed, which is very unusual. We even when the facility was closed last week, we opened the chamber for public input and for people to participate. But it's allowed us to test. It's not absolutely cutting edge technology to send us an email, but you can email public comments in advance of a city council meeting to publiccomment@cityofpt.us. And we will read that out into the record during the live stream of a city council meeting. And we were grateful last Thursday to have KPTZ live streaming the joint Board of County Commissioners and City Council special meeting. It's possible we might be able to do that at a City Council meeting in advance. I'm not going to commit for you, but it'd be very welcome if you were able to get that on the airwaves, mainly because we will have a few items to do with COVID-19 in our response. And I'll just name three of them. One of them is some discussion about waiving fees and late penalties and offering deferred payment plans for people with utilities. And that is something we take seriously. And so Mayor Sandoval and I have signed a proclamation we'll take to council at the next business meeting to ratify that. So we're trying to find ways where we can keep the city running, but also make sure that we could help those who need particular help getting those utility bills paid. The second thing is around HR and our own policies to make sure that city staff can keep going, because obviously some staff are not working full time and some are. And so we've pulled together a policy with some really hard work from the HR team and the finance team to make sure there's some predictability and that our staff remain either working or have some idea and some predictability about what's to come. So, you know, the team's been doing a fantastic job in the uncertainty at keeping everything moving forward. And then the last thing, the third proclamation that I'll give you advance warning for is, you know, when we all go to the grocery store or to essential services, it's so important that we practice optimal hygiene. We maintain some social distance of, you know, 6 feet. We continue to wash our hands. We cover our coughs in the nook of our arm. I mean, all these things that the CDC and the Department of Health have been telling us. And if we do that, we're going to really dramatically limit the spread of this disease, of this virus. We want to make that clear, and so we'll just be issuing a proclamation and ratifying that through council about enforcing and supporting those behaviors. It's critically important. And to those ends, a big shout out to the Emergency Operations Center, and particularly Willie Bentz and his wife, really, who helped pull together some last minute materials that today the Chamber of Commerce are posting all throughout Jefferson County. And it's a great reminder about employers and their practices that they're doing to keep us all safe. And it's a great reminder to customers who enter those stores or take out at the front desk and actually have to think about this as they're getting the service they're looking for. Finally, this is a great example of how we're changing our communications. We're coming in to KPTZ, and I believe Mayor Sandoval is almost going to be on the line here. But we're also going to be trialing, dare I say, a Facebook site for the city, trying to find new ways of connecting with people, making sure that they have all the up-to-date information. And then I guess the last thing I wanted to share, Tim, was, you know, what you can do. And there's quite a bit. I mentioned earlier that there's what you can do with your time and what you can do with your money. That's kind of the two main bits here. But I know this is not an exhaustive list, but I know that, if you need help, groups like OLECAP are helping with food delivery. If you can give help, Jefferson Community Foundation has launched a giving campaign that you can partake in and actually support. Same thing with Lion, the local investing opportunities network, and probably a whole host of our robust suite of nonprofits that are doing their best to support our community. There's also what you can do with your time, and a shout out to Dave Collier at Department of Emergency Management for putting together a community mask program. And I guess I could say that we can launch that now with Dave and Willie's permission today. And that means there is a number of community masks specifically for community members that are being made. There's a pending design for hospital masks that is sort of yet to be decided. But on the Department of Emergency Management website, you will see the mask design and sewing instructions. You will see drop-off points for masks, including the Port Townsend Public Library drop box, the Port Hadlock County Library drop box, and additional sites will be announced in the near future. You can see care and use instructions for community members who are using these masks. And for community members who need masks, the website will announce the locations where people can pick them up in the near future, and including instructions. The hospital grade mask design is still pending, so that's something that we're asking you not to go drop them off at the hospital. Please do not call the hospital relating to, you know, any questions related to the masks. They're quite busy. And please use only the design on the Department of Emergency Management website. So that's a great community initiative where those who, instead of drawing down on the supply of hospital grade masks that our first line emergency care professionals need, a community effort to actually design and sew and distribute those masks is in process now, and we could use your help. There's another call that we'll quickly get on the Emergency Operations Center website, which is jeffcoeoc.org. That'll be up shortly with anybody who has some skills in either nursing or EMT or doctor, where we may be looking for some additional skills. And I think lastly, everybody can check in on your neighbors without actually, being closer than 6 feet. You could do so directly. You could do so remotely. Nextdoor, Facebook, activating those NPREP community preparation groups is a really great way of making sure that everybody in your neighborhood is cared for and looked after, and everybody can play a role there. So, Tim, I just gave you a mouthful there. If you have any
you
questions.
You certainly did. There is so much to digest here. There is, and by the way, we're speaking with John Morrow of Port Townsend, city manager, and he just gave you a boatload of information. I mean, some do's and don'ts that hopefully we can, that will sink in all of our consciousness about calling 911, about going to the hospital, about the governor's order, and which I think actually, and I don't know, John, you can tell me, it seems to me that it has had an effect. It seems that having an order come from the governor has changed things in this past week. What's your impression of
that? Yeah, I mean, I think people are taking it quite seriously, which is a great sign. I mean, I think this wasn't a haphazard move on his part. He's taking this really seriously. And, you know, I think the order, if interpreted correctly by everybody, does a whole lot of good because, you know, clearly it's not locking us down. It's not a shelter in place. I mean, it is a way that we can go get our necessary needs met. We could still go outside, like I was saying. I mean, I really enjoy looking around the streets and actually seeing people outside trying to take in a little bit of contemplation or a little bit of sunshine. I mean, that's all still above board. That's something you can continue in, and I think I'd encourage. But in terms of those interactions at workplaces and, you know, the number of interactions that happen on a day-to-day basis, this order has the effect of dramatically reducing those. So therefore, we're really dramatically reducing those transmission points for COVID-19. And that's the whole point of this thing. I would say too, I mean, I forgot to mention that downtown businesses, a lot of them are still going, and not just downtown, throughout the county. I've been trying to do my part by visiting their take-up windows, and I would encourage anybody who can do so. You know, some of our businesses have been here for quite a long time and really depend on us now for, you know, a takeaway meal, you know, instead of cooking dinner, or, you know, go out and get your coffee instead of making it at home. You know, just realizing that keeping our dollars circulating in the community is actually one way that we can help.
And also, I do have to mention that many of these small businesses and these restaurants are the type of businesses that have actually kept us afloat, KPTZ, over the years. And so I tend to try and do as much takeout as I can. It's a great way to keep these businesses alive that have actually contributed so much to this community over the years. If you listen to our underwriting, you will see that more often than not, they're the small mom and pop businesses that have kept us going, and it would be a nice way to return the favor to help them out in this time also.
I mean, it's almost for my own mental health that I go in. I've had such just delightful interactions with people about how they're really doing, you know, as local businesses and as community members and people who care. And to me, those are bright spots in a day that's now filled with conference calls and telephone calls and remote work. So the human interaction is something I think we all miss a bit.
We do indeed. And I can't imagine what effect this has had on your planning for the future in Port Townsend, the projects. That's a topic for another time. We've dealt with the here and now, and I think that's the best that we can do right now, is because things change so quickly. I'm so glad that you're here to give us the latest on that. And we're not done yet. I'm going to give Mayor Sandoval a call. And Discovery Road, KPTZ in Port Townsend, with Mayor Michelle Sandoval on the line. Hello, Michelle.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good, good. I'm so glad this all worked out, and we're ready to just hear a little bit from your perspective on what's going on in this town. It's been a week, but as I said with John Morrow, it's a week is a year. There's been a lot of changes, and anything that you would like to let the listening audience know?
I wanted to not have you on speaker. Let's see. John covered it really well today. I would say that there was a couple of things that I also want to mention in terms of good information out there for small businesses in particular, as well as employees looking for information for help during this time. The EDC website, Team Jefferson, has a whole list of a variety of state and federal programs to help them through this time. So EDC would be a good place to go for that. The Chamber has also been duplicating those things. They're working hand in hand. So if you need information, Jefferson County Chamber or the EDC if you're a small business owner. And, of course, those bills, there was another bill passed yesterday by the Senate, and those apparently will keep coming in terms of the different programs that will help small businesses. I'll just mention a couple of things. And first of all, there are things that people can do, as John said, whether you're supporting our local restaurants through takeout, the different places that have become creative. I know Propolis Brewing as well as Finisterre have turned their businesses into sort of a provisions type of pickup. So you can pick up marinara sauce or fish and then go home and cook it. So you don't have to just pick up food that is prepared. So our community always has been creative, and I think that's a great example of how to pivot during this crisis. So I do encourage people to support our local businesses, and those that can't because they are not able to financially and that they're staying home for now, that in and of itself is support. I just want to say that those that are taking this stay-at-home directive from our governor, that is an important support for your community. And I don't want to downplay that because that's difficult for people to do. We have shut down, personally, as a small business owner. The governor did not mandate real estate offices as essential service, so we are closed, and we're doing business from home. And so for all of the businesses that have taken this seriously, I thank them. I just want to say a couple other things. Yesterday, we had the city-county joint housing task force meet along with the joint oversight board. Both are about homelessness and affordable housing. And we did speak extensively about what we can do now to keep people in their homes in terms of renters in particular, because it will only become a greater issue in terms of homelessness if we don't help people now stay in their homes. And so we are considering some of those options in terms of the funds that are available to be distributed to the Community Foundation or Dove House or OLECAP. So we're working on that diligently. And then I don't want to forget the food bank. We always want to make sure that our community members have enough to eat. So the food bank should be kept in your thoughts as well in terms of donations. Donations do help the food bank because they can buy at a wholesale rate many times. So the money is what's important if you can give. And then lastly, I just want to say that Fort Worden has closed its gates. The state parks have closed. And so many of us use Fort Worden on a daily basis to walk our dogs or to go get our exercise. And I just want to make everybody aware that if you can walk into the park as opposed to driving, please do. Because previously, back during the Great Recession, the gates were closed as well, unless you had a parking pass. And we had a lot of situations in which the neighbors around the fort were unhappy with people parking in front of their homes. So I would ask those homeowners to be aware that streets are public. So consider that before you yell at people who are parking in the street near your home, to be blunt. And the second thing is that there are some areas that are difficult to park at because of safety. So be smart when you're going out to the fort. If you can walk or if you can ride your bike, please consider that instead of trying to go in and drive, because you're going to find that you're going to have to park at the at the county park out at North Beach, or you're going to have to park along the roadways. And so we're trying to encourage people to consider that before visiting our beautiful Fort Worden.
A comment about that. That's the kind of nuts and bolts information that's really very valuable during a time like this. We don't think about that. I'm so glad that you brought that up. I have to say, before the governor's order, I thought, hey, social distancing, I'm going to go camping. I went to Dosey Wallops, and I thought, how more social distancing can it get to be out in nature? And I found that it was crowded like a summer weekend. So just the fact that we have the ability, as John Morrow said earlier, you know, we need to get out, we need to walk the dog, we need to be out in nature. And there's a bit of a silver lining in that when you have Fort Worden there and you can walk, and it is very unlikely that it's going to be a crowded midsummer type of scene out there.
That's exactly right. And so we're very lucky that that's an amenity that's fully within the city's borders. But we just need to remember to be kind to each other, those that live around the fort and those that are visiting the fort. We need to be cognizant of the effects of the closure there, and that we don't want to have any kind of neighborhood issues. This is the time to think about each other and to make sure to extend kindness to everyone that you meet, because we're all going through a difficult time.
Oh, and I think that's the best advice that could possibly be out there. Frankly, I've been proud of this community. When I look at reports from other places, and I go to the grocery store like anyone else, and there's been a minimal amount of hoarding here as compared to most places. And I think that, you know, we can keep that going. We'll be kind to each other. We take what we need. We do our social distancing, and we're careful about the tensions that can arise because of this, cabin fever, as it were.
Thank you, Tim, and KPTZ. We love you.
Well, thank you, Mayor Sandoval, and you stay well out there, and I hope to talk to you again. Thank you very much.
You will.
All right.
Thank you, Tim.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, back to John Morrow. John, is there anything else that you would like to put out there? One thing that I would like to say, and I heard Tom Locke say it on KPTZ, and I think that it's had a beneficial effect on the way that I look at what we're going through here. He talked about, and let me see if I can remember this, the paradox of preparedness, that when you have an incident like what we are going through and you get to the end, and I can't say this as well as he did, but that if there is a sense that you were overprepared, that means that you were successful. Mm. And that has been very helpful to me when I come across the type of things that we have to do to make this work. I think of that paradox of preparedness. I want, as we come out the other end of this, to say, well, maybe we overreacted, because now I know that what we did probably worked. So yes. Thank you, Tom Locke, for that.
Yeah, no, I think it's a really good way of putting it. We don't want to just barely squeak by and, you know, almost avert disaster. You know, we really want to do our best to look back and say, hey, we did the right thing. And look, I'm inspired by Mayor Sandoval's words here. I mean, what a great final piece here, just to say, let's all be kind to each other. I mean, this is a kind of community it didn't take me long to fall in love with. I've only been here for 4 months, and I feel like I'm so grateful to every interaction I get to have with everybody, even when people are saying, gosh, the city's not doing this for me and I'm annoyed about it. You know, you can turn that into a great conversation and maybe even a long-term dialogue. So coming from our political leadership saying, look, let's all take care of each other and be kind, is about the best thing I can imagine saying.
Yes, it is. And thank you for that. We're going to write that down. We're going to keep it in the front of our minds as we work through this. And I would like to thank you, John Morrow and Mayor Sandoval, both of you, for keeping us informed. There's been a lot there. I'm frankly glad that we live in the time of the internet, because I can't imagine what this was like, 50 years ago. Mm. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Tim. It's a pleasure.
And hopefully see you next Thursday.
Absolutely.